I don't know if you follow the news much, but about midweek, there was a story about a gentleman by the name of Lawrence McKinney from Lebanon, Tennessee. It's an interesting story because in 1978, he had been sentenced to 115 years in prison because he was accused and convicted of rape and burglary charges. But the issue was he didn't do it. And it took until 2008 to clear his name. And it took an extra year, 2009, before he was released from prison. That would be 31 years in prison for doing something you didn't do, or at least being accused of it. And so at his release in 2009, the Tennessee Department of Corrections gave him $75 to start over, to start a new life. Can you imagine being punished for something you didn't do, and at the end they give you $75 and say, sorry, see you later? Be tough. However, 10 days ago, 9 years after his release, the Tennessee Board of Claims voted 7-0 for a settlement of $1 million for Lawrence McKinney. Would $1 million buy 31 years of your life? Would you trade 31 years for $1 million? Especially to be in prison for a crime you didn't commit. And of course, he was asked about this. And he said, my blessings and praise go out to God. He says, I don't hold any grudges. And God took all the anger out of my heart. He's a person of faith. His pastor even said that over all these years, he'd always been a humble man. And now that he is free, that he is worried less about the money and more about the time he has left to spend with those that he loves. So this is a story of redemption. A story of a wrong made right. And honestly, I think it's a lot like the Easter story, but with a twist to some degree. Jesus was accused of a crime he didn't commit, and he was sentenced to death. 3 days later, he was exonerated from his crime and false imprisonment. It wasn't the chief priest who sentenced him to death that freed him. It wasn't the Roman governor who changed his mind. No. It was God the Father who pronounced his son innocent and raised him from the dead. And Jesus did not receive $1 million as a settlement for all his troubles either. But there was a payout. And he didn't keep it. He gave it to all of us. I mean, can you imagine doing time for a crime you didn't commit? You get exonerated, you get a settlement, and then you just give it all away. And that is exactly what happened on Easter morning so many years ago. Because we are the ones who benefit from the injustice of Christ's death. We are the beneficiaries. And the gift that we receive on Easter morning is the gift of ultimate love. Love that fears nothing if you wish to have a gift like that. Love that survives death. Love that tells us no matter how bad you've been or what you might go through, love will be present and always with you. Now, there's going to be people who will tell you that's crazy. There are going to be people who tell you, why would you believe such a thing? That is too good to believe. That's a fairy tale. Don't you let them get you down. Don't worry about what others think. Just love them back. Just pay them back with that ultimate perfect love because it messes with their heads. It's good for them. Just love them. We're always going to have doubters in this world. There's always going to be people who say, well, that's not exactly what happened. Kind of like what happened to Lieutenant David Steves, who was an Air Force pilot. He was serving in the 50s at a place called Hamilton Air Force Base up in Novato. And he had been assigned to fly this T-33 and it was an experimental aircraft at that point, take it out for a flight and fly it from Novato at Hamilton all the way to Selma, Alabama. And shortly after takeoff, he had malfunction. He had to parachute out. Plane crashed. He landed. This is how close he was. He landed at Kings Canyon just east of Fresno. And his parachute dropped him off at about a 12,000-foot elevation. He injured both ankles in the landing. And for the first 15 days, he crawled 20 miles. It was cold. He had no food. He eventually got to a ranger station at Simpson Meadow, where he found a little bit of food, but he still hadn't run into anybody, so he kept going on. The Air Force given up on him. Matter of fact, they declared him dead. But he didn't know that. He kept going. They didn't find any wreckage, so they figured he was gone. So after 52 days, Lieutenant Steves was found by a group of campers near Granite Basin, and he was brought out. Like I said, he was declared dead. And can you imagine the reaction of his wife and his friends being reunited with someone you thought was dead? It had to have been moving. It's like the shock of Easter morning. Those ladies at the tomb finding out that the tomb is empty. Or the shock of Easter evening when Jesus appears within a locked room. Someone is back from the dead. But the issue with Lieutenant Steves was that the hardship wasn't over yet. People started to speculate. He wasn't telling the whole story. No one could locate the crash site. What really happened there? Was there a plot to sell this experimental plane to the Soviets? Did he land it somewhere and disassemble it piecemeal and ship it off somewhere so he could sell it? Stories started to circulate about the truthfulness of his story, and it didn't even help his Air Force career. It's just like the resurrection story. The real story couldn't possibly be true. Someone stole Jesus' body. They made up the story to save face and not look foolish. They were all having a mass hallucination, which is not possible. Jesus wasn't actually dead. He was in a coma, and they nursed him back to health. There's no way it could have happened the way they said it happened. You see, doubt is written into our DNA. We're suspicious. We buy into conspiracy theories. I mean, the latest one that I've heard, the latest conspiracy theory is this, is that when bad things happen, there are such a thing called crisis actors who show up and pretend that they were a part of the crisis and become spokespeople. Oh boy. We just can't take things at face value. As a matter of fact, last week, I just realized this, last week during Palm Sunday, I talked about notable events in American history. I talked about 9/11. I talked about the moon landing. I talked about the Kennedy assassination. And I realized, guess what? All of those have conspiracy theories. I've watched enough History Channel in my lifetime to know. We have a hard time taking things at face value, including the resurrection. But I want to tell you that the resurrection is no conspiracy. Lives were changed that day. And I know we don't get to experience that firsthand. But the proof of the resurrection is in the action of the disciples after they saw Jesus. Because after they saw him, they feared nothing. They went from in a room cowering, afraid for their lives that they were going to be arrested and killed, to talking to anybody and everybody about Jesus that they could. They didn't even fear death. Matter of fact, two of them actually goes and talks to the chief priest, the guy who convicted Jesus to death. They tell him about Jesus. See, you don't make up a lie about resurrection and then die for a conspiracy theory. They found courage because they were reunited with Jesus. They were not afraid of anything because they found love. Matter of fact, one of the disciples who was there on that Easter morning wrote about it And this is what he said. He said, there is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. So imagine this. Jesus comes into the room, and all of a sudden, all that fear was driven out of them forever. I mean, I get it. We don't have the gift of seeing Jesus like the disciples did. But we do have the gift of believing their witness and then be filled with that love. And I know it might be hard to believe, but Jesus actually talks about this after the resurrection. Jesus addresses this. Can you imagine? We get a shout out in the resurrection story. This is what he said. He said, because you have seen me, you have believed, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. I mean, he's telling the disciples, yeah, I get it. Seeing is believing. But my favor rests on those who will never see this and still believe anyways. I mean, in a lot of ways, Jesus is saying, you guys get the easy part. You get to see me. But the real blessing falls on those who aren't in the room and still believe that I rose from the dead. So guess what? We have God's blessing this morning. Isn't that great? We even have the opportunity to add to that blessing by embracing perfect love in order to push out the fear that we have in this life. Because life is hard. And sometimes we need to grab onto Jesus again so that we can be filled with love once again. I mean, that's why we're here today. We're here to worship. We're here to take communion in a little bit. We're here to hear the scriptures. We need reminders that God loves us. That's why we gather. I mean, if Mrs. Pastor Ben hugged me once and said, well, you better remember that because that's the only hug you're going to get, it wouldn't be enough. I need reminders all the time. And the same is true with our faith. Oh, and I didn't finish the story about Lieutenant Steves. In the summer of 1977, some Boy Scouts from Los Angeles were up in Kings Canyon and they found an airplane canopy. Sent it off for testing, and in October of the following year, it was announced that the serial number on the canopy matched the T-33 jet of Lieutenant Steves. His story was true. There was nothing behind it. And so was the resurrection. So people are always going to be suspicious. People are always going to wonder, why would you get up and go to church? It's been that way since the beginning. And it hasn't changed. Even in the early 20s, in the Soviet Union, just the beginning of the Soviet Union, after the Russian Revolution, it was a tumultuous time. There was a Bolshevik leader by the name of Nikolai Bukharin. So I pointed him out so you know that I'm not making the story up. There's his picture. Stalin is just to the right. And he was a spokesperson. He was in leadership for a while. He's an interesting story. Look him up. And he was asked to go speak at a rally. So he was sent from Moscow to Kiev to talk about communism and to tear down faith, to tear down God, because they didn't see those things were compatible. So he spoke for an hour, tearing down the church, tearing down faith in Christ. And he went on and on and on. And he was so confident that he had totally torched the Christian faith that he opened up the floor to questions. And in that, a Russian Orthodox priest, that's their brand over there, he rose and he asked to speak. But he didn't address Nikolai. He turned around and he faced the crowd and he didn't ask a question. He turned around and he said, Christ is risen. And interestingly enough, the entire group of people stood up out of respect and they said, so stand a little taller today, folks. You're not alone. And there's no need to fear. You're among family here. And the head of our family is here with us right here and right now, ready to embrace all of us in his love to drive out that fear. And with that, I say happy Easter and amen.